This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
This morning we are going to go over the parable that we just read. The first thing we need to say is why a vineyard was important in the Bible. What did it symbolize? Well, first, it symbolized the nation of Israel. Second, the church. Third, judgment. And fourth, blessing. Now, the Israelites planted vineyards on the gentle slopes of their land, and they grew vineyards, and it was a labor-intensive activity requiring constant care and patience. It took up to 3 years before the farmer saw the first fruits. Isaiah 5, 1 through 4 details how farmers planted their vineyards. The first step was to fence the land to keep the wild animals away. He would then clear the stones and till the land before planting rows of vines. And finally, he would dig a wine press and set up a tower to guard against thieves. So what we have here, Jesus is talking about a vineyard that was fairly, apparently fairly well developed, because they're talking about sending workers to gather the crops. But the process Jesus outlines here is similar to what I just read to you from a handout from one of the sites about Bible scholarship. Is they had planted the vineyard, they built the wall to put around it, they dug the wine press, and they put up the tower. Then there were prophets sent to the vineyard, because this vineyard symbolizes Israel. So some of those servants that are going to go collect the fruit are the prophets. And so the fruit that he's talking about is the fruitfulness of a life lived in concert with your Lord and your God. Living faithfully, showing the fruits of repentance and showing the fruits of faithfulness. And those prophets came and they preached to the Israelites to try to draw them back, because they had regularly fallen away. You read through the Old Testament and you read constantly about the Jews falling away and worshiping idols and doing all those things. And they had wicked kings who led the people astray. And then there were the prophets that went and preached to them. And what happened? Well, the Israelites stoned some of them, beat some of them up, and killed some of the others. So Jesus is telling this parable, and finally they figure out that he's talking about them. Or it's hard not to catch the fact that this is an allegorical illustration of the nation of Israel and the Jewish religious leaders. And so they figured it out, and they were trying to get Jesus and arrest him, but the people were hanging on Jesus's every word. And so that tells us one of the ways that we can stay faithful is that we can hang on every word that is in the Word of God, because the Word of God leads us to life. The illustration of a vineyard also illustrates some things, because we're reading this parable and saying, well, does that really apply to me today? Yeah, but it also illustrates a few other things. One of the things the vineyard illustration is talking about or shows us is a relationship. What? Yeah. But think about it. You have to sow seeds for a good relationship, right? And then you have to have witnesses to come along and tell you the wise things and the way to carry out the relationship, and maybe warn you if you've done something dumb to harm the relationship. So these are the messengers coming to the vineyard and preaching to the people. So you need people to affirm the fact that you're on the right track with this friendship, or relationship, and that you're not going through the peach orchard, so to speak, which is not a vineyard, okay? Now, I remember in college, I had more than one friend, but I had two in particular, and this illustrates the principle of the vineyard reflecting a relationship. See, I didn't know these two guys very well, but one night, I'm sitting at my desk studying because I was the proverbial bookworm, and still am, by the way, but I was sitting there studying, and then, and I've got to do the voices because it won't be as effective if I don't. Okay, so I'm sitting there at my desk and I hear this, is Mike Carl in there? And I sat there saying, who are these lunatics? And so I went to the door, and sure enough, it's these two guys. And then they said, you want to come go get a pizza with us? And I said, I thought to myself, well, it can't hurt, so I'll go, you know. So I went and got the pizza. The friendship progressed from that point. And so eventually we got to be such good, close friends that we went out on double and triple dates with each other. And yeah, I know it may be hard to believe, but I actually had girls that were willing to go out with me when I was in college. And then we all graduated. What's the fruit from this? Well, the fruit is simply this. We're still friends to this day. We still call one another on our birthdays and send cards to one another, and we still have contact, but that's not even the best part. A few years back, those two guys came from Oklahoma and Texas and flew up here to come visit me. And so, does that relationship have fruit? Okay. Now, this vine in the vineyard also illustrates something else. And that's the gifts and the talents that God has given to you or to us. And so you see, you plant the seed of that talent. So you figure out, you know, you try a bunch of different stuff and find out something you might be good at. And then what do? You cultivate that by doing what? Practicing or developing the talent. And, you know, it could be music, it could be art, you could draw or paint, or even teach. And it's a gift that needs cultivating. And also, if you're a teacher, this even comes into it, voice acting. Because if you read a story to your class, the kids are going to get more into it if you do the voices of the characters in the story. And so I did that, and I was reading this story called Coming On Home Soon, and I did the voices in it. And one of the paraprofessionals that was in the class there keeping an eye on the kids said, whoa, that's the longest that those kids have paid attention to anything. You are a natural at this. So then I get the job teaching full time. And what we did then was we started reading Redwall. But what I was doing was teaching the kids how to voice the characters that I assigned to them. And one day the principal came by and she heard us doing the voices of the characters. She said, well, Mr. Carl, that's excellent. And you made me want to come in there and listen to the story too. So what's the fruit there? The fruit was that not just the pat on the back for a job well done, but I was asked to be the director of the Christmas play. And so principal thought that this gift had been cultivated well enough to where I could teach it to other people who were going to act in this play. And so you cultivate the gifts inside of you. And if you draw, cultivate that. If you can sing, cultivate that. If you play an instrument, you cultivate that. If you do anything, maybe if you're good at numbers and you can figure in your head these large sums and figures, work on that, cultivate it. But if you look in Matthew 25, you'll see the parable of the talents. And it's awesome that that word turned out to be the word of this Jewish currency, which was about a year's wages, as I understand it. And what happens? Well, the one that has 10 talents goes and uses them, and he makes 10 talents more. Then the one that had 5 went out and used that, and he had 5 talents more. But what did the one person do who had the one talent? He buried it. And so this is our warning about using our talents and our gifts. Don't bury them, or don't think someone else is better at it than I am, so I shouldn't try. Or don't think that I'm not ever going to be good at this, because God doesn't care how wonderful you are. What he wants to know is that you're using what he has given you where he places you. Right? And so, in my own small way, I did that. No Broadway plays, no Oscar-winning performances there, but it was an elementary school, and we used it, and we did it, and we did it successfully. And so that can show you what can happen if you actually use the talents that God gives you. Now, that's the fruit of the work and the gift that you have. Now, who are those prophets that come to message you? Those are the people who tell you, yeah, you're doing this really good. You're doing fine. And you don't listen to the ones who are telling you, boy, you stink. Give it up. Don't try it. It's not going to work. Or even don't listen to yourself if you keep telling yourself, I'm not really any good at this. Why should I try? Because there can be fruit as long as you do the gifts and use them that God has given you, and you can produce a lot of fruit. Now, the end of Jesus's parable is, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. Remember, that's the one where he takes the talent away from the one who buried his, and he takes it away from him and gives it to one who has 10. You say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Well, what's going on there is this. If you work and you cultivate your talents and you weed the garden and you put down fertilizer, as it were, and you take care of it and you grow, you will bear fruit. When you use your gifts, sometimes you find out you have a talent for doing something else. And that's what it means by taking the talent away from one and giving it to the one who had 10. That's not an unfair thing. The person who uses their gifts and practices and discovers that they have gifts to do new things, different things, that's the multiplication procedure or principle there. So don't listen to the naysayers, even if it's yourself, and then cultivate the fruit in your own life. That's the point that we can take away from this story this morning. Cultivate the gifts that are in you and use them for God's glory, and you'll be amazed at how you get blessed in the process. So cultivate that fruit. Cultivate those friendships and those relationships, because they will be a blessing. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.